The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So last week for Anapanasati, talked about the steps 5 and 6. 5 is breathing in, experiencing joy. Breathing out, experiencing joy. And then 6 is breathing in, experiencing happiness. Breathing out, experiencing happiness. And the movement from joy to happiness is a move towards tranquility. The mind, the body becoming more tranquil, where the joy factor is a little more energetic, and the happiness quality is more subtle, more peaceful, tranquil, kind of a sense of well-being. And that movement from something that's a little more energetic to this more tranquil is characterizes the whole process of deepening meditation in Buddhism, that we're going from coarser states to more refined, subtler states of being. We're going for more active ways of engaging. And as the mind settles down, we're moving towards a clarity and an alertness and a peacefulness that where there's things become, the mind becomes less active, more peaceful, more softer. And so the quieting of the mind, the quieting the activity, settling is kind of the movement we're going here. And that's kind of like, so the principle of going from coarse to refined, or more active to more tranquil states. And tranquil doesn't mean that we go sleep or that we become dull. The movement is to a tranquility that's quite alert or has a lot of clarity to it. But there's less activity, and it's a fascinating process to see this. And one of the things we start seeing is this relationship between the mind and the body. So the first tetrad, steps 1 to 4, are kind of about the body, but it's not the physical body in and of itself. It's more the body that we experience, where the experience is very much influenced by what's going on in the mind. And there's a reciprocal relationship that as the mind, as the body settles down, we get more focused on the body and it relaxes more. The fourth step is to relax the body. That also has a relaxing effect on the mind and other effects, beneficial effects on the mind. It's reassuring for the mind. It brings a sense of safety to the mind, peacefulness to the mind, subtleness, a focus to the mind. It's easier to be in the present moment. And then we go into the second tetrad, now with steps 5, 6, 7, and 8, that now we're beginning to enter into the world of the mind is not separated from the body. These two are interlinked. But we're moving into the area of the mind, and the qualities of joy and happiness are a bridge between this, because the joy and happiness is felt in an embodied way. But it's just very much influenced by the concentration level of the mind, the focus of the mind, the peacefulness of the mind. And then there's a reciprocal relationship. As there's more joy and happiness that courses through the body, then that reassures the mind more. And thus, reassured mind will feel like it doesn't need to think so much and ruminate so much and can get quieter. So kind of this bridge with joy and happiness between the kind of the body and the mind is really worth lingering with and developing. And I know it's a little hard for oftentimes to feel joy and happiness and short notice and just will it up like that. But even if you don't feel this during this time, when this section of the practice, it's maybe just imagine it, or not imagine you're having it, but develop a kind of a intuitive sense of it, or learn these teachings, and sooner and later, hopefully, you'll recognize a little bit this meditative embodied joy, happiness, well-being that can happen as we practice. And some people are surprised or delighted that they're given permission to feel pleasure in meditation, permission to feel joy and happiness. And definitely, this is really the considered to be very important foundation for moving forward. In many, many places in the suttas, the Buddha actually describes a process of deepening practice that is called the gladness sequence, or the gladness pentad, because there's five steps. And these are acquiring gladness in meditation. And then the description is very kind of intransitive or passive. It's like we're not doing the next steps. They just flow. As one becomes mature, it flows into the next. We do our practice, and the practice begins practicing us. Something begins shifting and changing, and we don't have to be so responsible except to be really present for the experience. So with the gladness, there arises joy. With the joy, when it's mature, there arises a tranquility of the body. With the tranquility of the body, there arises happiness. And with the arising of happiness, with the maturity of happiness, there arises concentration, unification, being really unified and sitting and feeling very whole here in the present moment. And this wonderful kind of pattern, the gladness sequence, gladness, joy, tranquility, happiness, and concentration, samadhi. Now what's interesting and what I want to emphasize today is the first step is feeling a sense of gladness. And the gladness comes from being inspired by something. And this the Buddha really understands the value of becoming inspired, being gladdened, being delighted by some aspects of what's happening in our practice or in our lives, so that that certain kind of gladness, that we don't get lost in our thoughts and stories and imagining over and over again what happened, but we use our imagination just enough to have that gladness begin settling us into the present moment more and more, settling us into the body. And this use of the imagination to help us, to not make us go wandering away, but using the imagination to allow us to be inspired, is one of the supports for meditation practice. And how that inspiration can be not forced, not imaginary, not an avoidance of the present moment, but really a support for really connecting in a deeper and deeper way, in an honest way, with what's really happening in our lives, what's really present, is one of the great benefits of Dharma practice, to be able to be present even for difficult things with some form of well-being, some form of maybe sometimes joy, delight, gladness that holds it all, not to be removed from the challenges and suffering of life, but to really, in some sense, be receptive to it in a really deep way, and not be a victim of it, not be oppressed by it, but to have compassion and love as a possible response. So what I'd like to do for the next maybe couple of days, and we'll see how far we go, is talk a little bit more about the Buddha's emphasis or use of imagination, focus on teachings on imagination, both as what gets in our way for meditation, interferes with it, but also in ways in which it supports meditation. And this seems like a very nice bridge between the mind and the body. It's this part where we're talking about joy and happiness, because this imagination has very much to do with this happiness and joy qualities, and to how to evoke joy and happiness, gladness with what inspires us through, by thinking about it or something. So that's the topic, and hopefully you'll get a sense as we go through these teachings that how it's useful in connecting you to these steps 5 and 6, joy and happiness, and creates a very good foundation for the continued settling, becoming more tranquil, the mind becoming more peaceful. It's a preparation for that, so we can start looking more deeply at the mind itself and the quieting, settling, pacifying of the mind, so that it becomes an instrument of awakening. So that's the introduction for this week, and I look forward to our time tomorrow, and delighted to share this time with you. Thank you.